The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
To you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you're with us on a gorgeous Monday afternoon. Summer, you old Indian summer. It's fall, but it's Indian summer. If we can still use that phrase, Native American summer, whatever we call it now. Beautiful day. Glad you're hanging out with us. What a show. Comedian Rob Schneider from Saturday Night Live. He's going to be playing Seattle in a few days. He's going to join us this afternoon, and I'm going to try to get him to talk about a very funny way he promoted his new movie a couple of days ago. So we'll talk about that with Rob Schneider. We got so much to do between, I mean, also on a much more serious note, I got an email from a mom who wants to speak out about our president and our governor allowing an absolute free flow of fentanyl into this state. Her 35-year-old son died from fentanyl poisoning earlier this year, and the mom reached out to me over the weekend and said she wanted to get this message out because we must do something about this tsunami of fentanyl that's washing over our young people. Leading killer of Americans 18 to 42 years old is fentanyl. So we'll talk to that mom coming up at the bottom of this hour. Very, very busy news afternoon. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Professional sports has become a absolute mono thought process. If you are not on the left, and if you are not openly out on the left, you're going to have trouble. I know a little bit about this from a couple of years ago, but the Seattle Sounders are now in the middle of a controversy because one of their players has a different political opinion than everybody else, and he dared retweet a cartoon. Okay, so he's a star defender on the Sounders, Xavier Arriaga, and he posted a cartoon on his Instagram account. And I will try to describe. Jason Rance has a story up at My Northwest with the cartoon if you want to look at it. But it shows two kids sitting in front of a television. The television has six arms, really, coming out. Two of the arms, they've tied up the mom and the dad. They're kind of mummified. Their entire body and up to their mouth is tied up. It's a hand over their mouth, so they can't speak. Two of the arms coming out of the television are rainbows going into the heads of the two kids, a boy and a girl. And the bottom two arms on the television is handing a pair of jeans to the girl, who has a dress on, and handing a skirt to the boy. In other words, just about how all this grooming is happening, how kids are being taught and trained at a very early age that they're not cool if they're the same gender that they were born with. All the cool kids are switching. And so, yeah, we've talked about it a lot. I wasn't planning on talking about this subject today because we have discussed it a lot. But when I heard what the Seattle Sounders did about this, it's just absolutely disgusting to me. So the parents are tied up. The kids have rainbows going into their heads. And the kids, who look terrified, are having boys' pants foisted on the girl and girl's skirt foisted upon the boy. That is it. It's a cartoon. Oh, well, Sounder fans, being the good soccer fans that they are, they did not like a player suggesting in a cartoon that this message is being foisted upon our kids, which it clearly is. And there's no question about that. So he posted truth. It's also just a cartoon. But and by the way, most people in America and most people listening to my voice right now agree that it's ridiculous how much of this is being pushed on children. But if you agree that it's ridiculous, even though it's a majority opinion, you must be silenced because you're not thinking the way the mob demands, no matter how small, no matter how radical, no matter how dangerous the mob is. You must be silent on this issue. And you can't post a cartoon on this issue. So they started bombarding the Sounders with fury that one of their players thinks like most Americans, which is hateful and intolerant. So this guy who's from Ecuador, he sent out an apology last night after the uproar. Dear fans, last night I reposted a post of a famous Christian artist. Oh, it's a Christian too. It's not just a comic, it's a Christian comic. Ooh, because the left hates Christians. Dear fans, last night I reposted a post of a famous Christian artist in my Instagram stories, which at the time seemed normal to me and without thinking that this image was going to cause and hurt the people of our community, which never was my intention. Well, first of all, it didn't hurt one soul. There's not one human being who was hurt by this. This is the pretend outrage that's become the most aspirational destination for people today. Nothing makes you a greater human being than you claiming victimhood. It's all somebody else's fault. I'm a victim. Nothing on the left is more important than that. Okay. I did not mean to hurt the people of our community. It was never my intention. I want to express that I respect the way of life and thinking of all people. Thank you. Well, as Jason wrote, and as I've said a million times, when the mob forces you to apologize, they know you're weak. And when they know you're weak, they seize it. They sense it, and they exploit it. So they have been just bombarding the Sounders with mess. They want this guy gone, even if he's a star player. One person tweeted, "I'm not impressed. Pack your bags, Zavi." I'm not impressed. He apologized for a cartoon. I'm not impressed. Ooh. Imagine that person not being impressed. Another fan wrote, "This isn't an apology, and the hurt was genuine despite the intent. He needs to do better, and that starts with saying, I'm sorry for ... The hurt was genuine." No, nobody's hurt by it. There isn't one human being hurt by this cartoon. There are people who are pretending to be hurt. Another fan claimed, "Dude's clearly a homophobe. Pass." Ooh, he's going to pass? I can't imagine how hurtful that would be to be passed on by that guy. And then a nurse wrote, "It's violence and it's dangerous." Ooh, yeah. How many, hey, nurse, how many patients have you had to treat, triage, do emergency surgery on for cartoon violence? It's violence and it's dangerous. But then, and here's where I'm really disappointed. Because the coach of the Sounders, Brian Schmetzer, I like Brian Schmetzer. I've had him on the show a couple times. Seems like a good guy, local guy. I think he went to Nathan Hale High School. But now he has to be the woke mob master because a player sent out a cartoon. And so they even had a press conference about this.
Okay, first answer, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it at all.
You don't agree with what? A cartoon? Somebody sent out a cartoon about what's happening to our kids? Which is truth? Which is happening? You don't agree with it?
Okay. I mean, people are who they are. It's not TV trying to brainwash people. I don't know who that guy was that he took the quote from. but I personally don't agree with it.
There wasn't even a quote. It was a cartoon. It was pictures only. But and to say that pop culture and our schools and social media are not trying to influence our kids, why do you think the pharmaceutical companies are funding the gender cool project in schools and in communities? Why do you think they're doing that? Of course they are trying to convince kids that they're trans. And to suggest otherwise, you have no clue, because this is happening. But I mean, the fact that one cartoon that one player tweeted demanded all of this, and then he talked about the Sounders team position on this.
From a club standpoint, I'll answer that one too. I mean, look, a lot of people were hurt about that Instagram post, and they have a right to be hurt. And Javi apologized, and when he comes back, I will have a good conversation with him, okay, try and help him out. And then we also, within the club, have a really good social, you know, equity network, and he'll sit down with them and talk things through and just make sure he understands that what he said wasn't correct.
How about, why don't you put electrodes on his head? Why don't you give him electroshock therapy too? Get his mind right. And by the way, what you're saying about Seattle or the organization, they're going to sit down with him. They're going to teach him how to think. This is all illegal. I'll get to that in just a minute. But the coach says, but they're looking at it as a learning opportunity.
And so it sounds like that you are taking it as an opportunity to start a dialogue and to
sure.
maybe have a conversation about, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Race, equity, gender, all of that sort of stuff, for sure. You can look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, it's great. What a great opportunity this is. And then they're treating this guy like he's a four-year-old who's out killing bees or something.
And so it sounds like that you are taking it as an opportunity to start a dialogue and to
sure.
maybe have a conversation about, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Race, equity, gender, all of that sort of stuff, for sure. You can look at it as an opportunity.
Jeez. He may have ruined his life with one click of the mouse.
You know, it takes one 100th of a second to hit the send button. But then what you put out there is out there. It's not going away.
This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable that this is happening to this guy. And then finally, what about America?
Sure, it's America. We have the right to free speech. I get it. But I don't know.
Okay. Sure, it's America. We have a right to free speech. Period. Not all the organizations can regulate employee speech. But there's always a but when somebody on the left says, oh, I believe in the First Amendment, but... There's always a but.
Sure, it's America. We have the right to free speech. I get it. But I don't know who's guiding him. I don't know who his, guy that runs his Instagram account. I don't know what kind of guidance he is getting. So that's where maybe we can step.
Ooh, somebody polluted his mind because he noticed that social media and pop culture is trying to encourage kids to switch genders, which, again, is an irrefutable fact. But Jesus, this is unbelievable. This is one of the stupidest responses ever.
Been and help him, along with, along with what you said. I mean, yeah, it is a free country, but we all have to understand that what we say sometimes can hurt other people's feelings. You have to acknowledge that. So I think Twitter and Instagram, if you want me to.
Oh, we can't hurt people's feelings. Is that really our standard? Because if you say the sky is blue, somebody's, I'm colorblind. You shouldn't say that. It's my feelings. There's always somebody whose feelings are hurt. And if that's our standard for what's acceptable and what's allowable, if you're speaking with truth, again, it's a cartoon. It's unbelievable.
Get on my soapbox is just reflective of a lot of the divide that we find in this country on many different topics. And so, you know, people use it because they can hide behind a, you know, 120 character statement or on their Instagram post. They can do that. But when I have a conversation with you face to face, then there's more respect. And then if you say something that I don't like, I can respond back and we actually have a conversation. People don't talk to each other enough these days, in my opinion. So when Jeremiah and I talk about stuff, it's he and I. When I do it, Jackson, it's a conversation. So that's where social media in this country sometimes goes overboard with people posting, you know, their opinion, but without much thought as to how it affects others.
Okay, I'm going to take Brian Schmitzer up on that. We are going to reach out to the coach of the Sounders, and he says that we need to have a conversation. So I will endeavor to get him on. Like I said, I like the man. I'll try to get him on. I would like to have a conversation with him about this. And that's what he seems to want as well. But what the Sounders are doing right now, by the way, is illegal. Seattle is one of the few cities in the country that has non-discrimination laws that cover political ideology. Very few cities. Now, the reason this is initially put in is because the Marxists in the city, they didn't want to be discriminated against because they're Marxists. So they said, hey, let's make that you can't discriminate because of political ideology. Well, it turns out, the people who get discriminated against the most under that Seattle city law, people on the right, because cancel culture has said that you must be silenced if you don't think like everybody else. So if this guy wanted to sue his employer, it sounds like the Seattle Sounders are violating Seattle city law that you can't discriminate against people for their political ideology. I doubt if he will, because then he'd become a pariah in North American soccer circles and would probably be cut from the team and have trouble finding another gig. But that's how people get bullied into silence. That's how it happens. What do you think about this nonsense? You can text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I'm going to check the news for you, and then we're going to talk with a mom who reached out to me over the weekend because she wants our politicians to hear what our open borders and our sanctuary state of Washington, what they're doing with fentanyl for the cartels, because fentanyl's what killed her son earlier this year. She wants her story to be heard, and we will listen next here on the Dory Monson Show. If you were listening last week, I talked with our regional director of Homeland Security, Robert Hammer, once again telling us about this tsunami of fentanyl that is just flowing into our state, almost unfettered, almost no resistance for the cartels. It is the leading killer of Americans 18 to 42 years old. It is the equivalent of a 9/11 every few weeks in America, and yet people don't seem to care enough. I'll tell you who care, and that is the family members of the victims. I heard from a mom, Melanie Madden, who lost her son to fentanyl earlier this year, and she reached out to me and wanted to speak about this. Melanie joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Melanie, I really appreciate you having reached out to me.
Oh, thank you for contacting me. I appreciate it.
Tell me why you reached out. I mean, what is the message that you wanted to chat with me and all my listeners to hear?
I think as a mom and, you know, family that lost a child to, you know, fentanyl poisoning, I feel like I have a mission to get this message to our lawmakers to do something about the flooding of the fentanyl into our country. You know, our borders are not protected, and it's, you know, and if I can save another family or mother from losing their child, that's my mission.
Do you know the circumstances under which Tyler got this fentanyl? Did Tyler struggle with drug addiction? Do you know?
He did. Yes. Yeah. Off and on. He had some really great years when he used to be in a program called Adult and Teen Challenge, and he worked for them, and probably those were his best years.
Okay.
You know, the last 2.5 years, I would say, was very much a struggle due to various circumstances. He struggled with mental health and depression, and which a lot of addicts do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and so it was a constant battle, but he wanted to be clean and sober. That was always his goal. He was always reaching out, either going to go into another, the day that he was rushed to the hospital, he was going to go to a program in North Carolina. And, you know, I think he probably thought, well, I can use one last time because I'm going into treatment, which I've heard from a lot of his friends who are in recovery said the same thing. And, you know, but he didn't have one last time because what he thought he was getting was heroin, and it wasn't. So,
Where did this happen? Was it on the streets around here?
It was at Everett at a homeless encampment that was, he was, you know, kind of in between programs. And so he was just kind of wandering the streets of Everett waiting to go, you know, to fly to North Carolina. But, you know, when you're a drug addict and somebody offers you drugs, you don't say no.
Yes, that's so true. So there are so many issues at play here, Melanie. Mental health treatment that's needed, the drug addiction treatment. It seems to me, and I want to get your perspective, what we're doing now is the worst thing that we could possibly be doing, and that's allowing these encampments, allowing people to commit crimes so that they can buy drugs daily. We've legalized drugs both through the legislature and the state Supreme Court. They have not fixed that. This really is the easiest place in the country to be a drug addict, and that's where I think people need to be aware of the tragic consequences of how misguided all of this is.
It is. And like I said, as, you know, parents that lost a child to this, you know, terrible disease, and I don't feel our government's doing anything to address it. I actually emailed our governor last week, and I got a response today. I titled mine Fentanyl Epidemic. I got an email back saying immigration was the subject line, and it didn't once respond saying, I'm so sorry for your loss. It just said, thank you for contacting the governor about your concerns. That was basically it.
So they, that's about as cold and as heartless as I can possibly imagine. So they just put it under the umbrella of immigration, which it's not.
Exactly.
Illegally coming into this country has nothing to do with immigration. Immigration is a legal process where we admit legally 1 million people a year, but we've got 2, 3, 4 million who are coming in illegally, and a lot of them are drug mules for the cartels. And
exactly.
The fact that Jay Inslee won't address this with the mother who lost a son is, I mean, there's not much he can do that shocks me anymore, but I can't believe what you just told me.
No, I know. It was shocking to see that this morning. I thought, are you kidding me? That's not what I said at all. You know, I wasn't talking about immigration. I was talking about the fentanyl epidemic, you know, flooding into our borders.
So, the way that we must approach this is, I want my listeners, because the thing that moves people to action is when they start hearing about the individuals, because right now we become numb to us. The numbers are so large, and we just deal with this like it's a numbers problem. But this is a human life issue. Tell me a little bit about Tyler when he was growing up and before drugs took over so much of his life.
Yeah, he's really quiet kid, but very athletic. I have 4 children, and of, you know, he was probably the most gifted athlete of the 4. I mean, they all were athletic, but he was definitely the most gifted. And, you know, very sensitive young man, and cared about people. That's why I think he did so well when he worked for, you know, Pacific Northwest Adult and Teen Challenge, because he listened, he understood, he was a good helper. You know, after he passed away, so many of those men that he helped reached out to my husband and I and told us, you know, Tyler changed my life. He really helped me. You know, one kid even said, Tyler saved my life. And, you know, he was just a very caring person, and but just struggled with depression and anxiety and, you know, relationships. He cared about what people thought about him. And I don't know what else to say.
You've painted a really beautiful picture of your son. And how old was he when drugs started to take a grip on him?
It started his senior year of high school after his football season. They had an amazing football season his senior year. They'd gone to state and lost in like triple overtime in quarterfinals. And, you know, once football ended, it was almost like his life was, that was over, you know. And he, one of his high school friends and older brother introduced him to pills, and that kind of took off from there. Yeah.
Well, I hope that everyone listening is moved to action by stories like this, because we have, first of all, we have to make drugs illegal again in this state.
Yeah.
This is madness. My view, I don't know if you agree with me, I don't think we should allow these encampments. I think that we should have a place where everybody who wants shelter and food and help, where they can get drug treatment and mental health counseling and hopefully job training, we should offer that to everyone. If they refuse that and try instead to live on the streets, I think they should be put in jail where they cannot buy the drugs. And I would hope more people would choose treatment if that's the alternative. But what we're doing now is not working. And it's, like I said, it's killing more young people in America than anything else.
Well, and I know two other moms who my son knew, or knew mutual friends, that lost their sons this year too to fentanyl overdoses. And they're just grieving as much as we are. And that we're there to support each other, but we all feel like we have a mission to do something, you know, to prevent this from happening to other families. And yeah, the drug, homeless encampments, you know, one of my things was, you know, not only clear them out, give them treatment, but what if Narcan was provided and you could save a life, you mm-hmm. know, reverse the effects of the, you know, drugs. I mean, if Narcan had been available for my son, he might still be here today.
Yeah. Well, most of our first responders have Narcan. I know in Pierce County, they're experimenting with some Narcan vending machines.
I know. I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is an area. But we got to stop the drugs. I mean, and the fact that Jay Inslee thinks that the plague of death with these drugs is an immigration issue is... that is just sick. That is sick and wrong.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Melody, I so appreciate you, first of all, reaching out to me and then having the courage to tell your story like this. And hopefully we will start to turn around this tide of drugs that's flooding us right now.
Yeah, that's my prayer, for sure. Oh, I appreciate you contacting me.
Yeah, well, I know you said when we talked off air that you are a family of faith. God bless you and your family. And you're going to be in my prayers, and I know how painful this is, but we'll keep fighting it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Melanie, take care. Melanie Madden, local mom who lost her son Tyler, 35 years old, to fentanyl overdose, and she wanted to get the word out, and Jay Inslee calls this an immigration issue? Unbelievable. Okay, your thoughts, you can text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I've often said the one topic that I really hate discussing is abortion, because both sides are so intransigent on the issue, nobody ever changes their mind. But it's becoming an increasingly meaningful topic going into the midterms, and the Democrats are trying to use the Supreme Court decision that says it's a states' rights issue. And then, for reasons I'll never understand, Lindsey Graham, I mean, I understand his motivation But he's introduced a what he would like to see is a federal law that would prohibit abortions after 15 weeks. And politically, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of. Right now, that's handing a gift to the Democrats when Lindsey Graham does that. But here's something that is interesting. It seems like the people who are most hateful about homosexuality, and I'm going off from abortion to homosexuality, are political commentators on the left. They believe that the best way to tear somebody down is to suggest that they're gay. Because I guess in their minds, there's something wrong with being gay. And of course, there's not. But to people on the left, the political commentators on the left, and as audio proof of this, on MSNBC over the weekend, they had a panel talking about Lindsey Graham and the abortion issue, and they decided to make it funny. They'll suggest that Lindsey Graham is gay.
And in so many other swing states.
Oh, I know.
Women
and
registering to vote.
The fact that he is telling women what to do with their bodies. He's never seen a vagina. He's never seen a naked woman. And he is telling me.
Someone fact-check that.
They're all laughing at that. Because Lindsey Graham's a lifelong bachelor. And there have always been whispers in D.C. circles that he's gay. But for them to make that a way to tear him down. Why are they suggesting that there's something wrong with being gay? It's just very bizarre, but it's so revealing that to people on the left in political commentary, they think that to tear somebody down is to suggest that they are gay, which means they must think there's something wrong with being gay. And again, there's not.
Well, that's okay, this is a news organization. We don't know that for sure.
Okay.
We do not know that for sure.
Judy, we would refer to that as an unconfirmed report.
Okay. Unconfirmed.
Someone needs to find out.
I'm going to speculate.
According to Judy Gold.
Is that Janice from Friends on the panel? Going to speculate that... and then it's a big question in the White House right now. Peter Ducey, because what the Republicans have said is, and look, I think the, you know, one of the most important questions in all of humankind, when does life begin? Does it begin at conception? Does it begin at heartbeat? Does it begin at viability outside of the mom? What I know for 100% certain is that being present at all three of our daughters' births, that was a human being 5 minutes before birth, and it was an identical human being 5 minutes after. And the Democrat position is right up until birth under certain circumstances. And you know, you can argue when it began, when life begins. But to say that you should be able to do the late term, that's where most 70% of Americans don't believe in late term. But the Democrats as a party do. So Peter Ducey tried asking the White House spokeswoman.
Does President Biden favor any limits on abortion?
We've been very, very clear here. Since you're talking about my topper, I was talking specifically about Senator Lindsey Graham.
Okay, so she goes off on Graham. She won't answer the question because the question is, she's Biden's spokeswoman.
Why not get into specifics? The Republicans are saying we don't want abortion after 15 weeks. Why can't you say how many weeks... a president.
So, as you know, Kevin McCarthy put out the GOP agenda.
So then she starts talking about Republicans. She won't answer the question. So it's an important question. The Republicans are on record. What is Joe Biden's answer? Is it right up till birth? Because if that's what he believes, then that is murder at that point. Okay, we'll check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then, oh, in the fastest 15, the drug companies are stepping up the efforts to get a vax in the arm of your 5-year-old. Details straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.